Good morning. I'm going to jump right in because we have a party to get to today. And I feel like the Lord is bringing us a spiritual party this morning, and he's bringing us a real life party with food and fun and everything. So I'm going to pray because I need it. Lord, I just thank you for the word that is percolating in me today. Ken is right. I thank you, Lord, for your presence here. I am not doing that. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for peace that passes understanding. I thank you, Lord, for joy unspeakable. I thank you that it's for all of us today, that there is a joy that's bubbling up inside of us that's beyond what we can express, that's beyond what I can tell you in my notes. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the parts that you do that we can't do. So I just ask that you would minister unspeakable joy this morning, that we would anchor ourselves to it today, that it would be a foundation for us. In Jesus' name. Oh, man. Okay. Apparently not. Funny thing about me is that even when I'm happy and I feel like laughing, it makes me cry. So last month, I had the opportunity to talk a little bit about whether or not we are lost or led in a season of wilderness. And just defining a season of wilderness as a time when we feel like things are being stripped away, or we find like we're in an unfamiliar place, we're not sure where we are, and that we have this amazing opportunity to be led in times like that. That there's times that when we talked about Jesus being led into the wilderness, and then he was led out full of the Spirit, and it was evident to everybody around him, and he was glorified in that. And that this is a season, whether your wilderness is the same wilderness that we're all experiencing with all that's going on in the world around us, or whether you have an additional wilderness you're walking through in loss, or in a difficulty that you're walking through, that this is a season that we get to be led. And it's true that this is a season that we're digging a little deeper. And this is a time when we are pressing in to the Lord for some things. Dave talked about it today as he opened. It's in my notes. That this is a time when we go into the wilderness, and I talked about coming out leaning on Jesus. There's this depth of pressing into him during this time that we get to go after together with him. And so that's the season that I've been in. That's the season that I've been in just pursuing that intimacy with the Lord. That we would find a place of safety, we would find a place of peace in the midst of everything else that's going on. And so what I was going to talk about today was the way that Jesus dealt with storms. And I was going to talk about this connection between peace and authority, that there were times when Jesus slept through the storm, and he showed us what it looks like to be in perfect peace. And then there was a time when he spoke to the storm and he showed us what it was to have authority. And I want us to know that we are meant to walk in both of those things. We're meant to walk in perfect peace, which means sometimes being able to sleep in the midst of the storm, to be able to be at a place of rest in the midst of the storm. And when we've kind of apprehended what that peace is, then there's something released in us where now we have authority to speak to the storm. And so that's what the Lord's building in us right now. But I believe that there's some foundational things that he's laying groundwork in us so that we can really fully step into that. So I'm not going to talk about peace and authority today. I wanted to, but every time I was studying around that area and all the texts that I was looking at, there was this little thing that kept popping up right around the text when I was studying about peace and authority, and it was joy. Like a mosquito in your bedroom at night, it was buzzing every time I'm looking at, okay, let's look more about peace, and then two verses over, there's something about joy. And then I'm looking over here about authority, and three verses before that, there's something about joy. And then I come into prayer on Thursday morning, and I'm late, because I'm late, and they're talking about celebration and joy. So I'm talking about joy today. And then Dave talked about it this morning, so now that's what I'm talking about. So we just know that this is a season that whatever it is we're looking for, whether it's peace or authority or joy, or in the previous 2 weeks, Pastor Bob and Pastor Dave talked about wisdom. How many of us are going deeper into the Lord for wisdom in this season? We need his wisdom. Whatever it is, Colossians 1:19 tells us it pleased God that in Christ Jesus all fullness should dwell. So the fullness of all of those things are found in Christ Jesus. And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning as it relates to the whole thing of joy. One of the things that we need to be aware of is that it is the desire and it is the specialty of Jesus to give us something really great for something really cruddy. That's the church word. That's it's his desire to do that. And so when we're going through a season where we're struggling with some things, where we feel like we don't have wisdom, where we feel like we're not in peace, where we feel like we're powerless, we need to know that the whole purpose of what Jesus did beyond salvation was there's this massive exchange program that he came to bring in our lives. And so to me, it's like this. It's like when I'm playing cards, you know, there's some card games where you get to trade in, you know, okay, I'll take two because you don't like a couple of the cards that you've got. But with Jesus, it's like he's not just the dealer that'll give you one or two different cards and let's hope you can eke out a win out of this, but he's one that will give you an entire new hand. We'll look at my hand and I go, yeah, I'm not going to win with this. And he goes, oh, here, take my hand. And then I get to play his cards. That's the great exchange that we have. Now, the problem that I was seeing in this when I was thinking about this morning as I was laying in bed is that I feel like I've exchanged some cards with Jesus, and I'm still looking at him going, you know, I don't feel like I can win with these still. But I think what I felt like he showed me was sometimes we think we're playing poker, but the game is actually hearts. And so sometimes I look at the cards that he's giving me, and I go, these are awful cards. And he goes, you don't know what game we're playing. Those are the winning cards. And I feel like this is a season where sometimes we get a little bit disturbed because we look at the cards, even the ones that Jesus has given us, and we go, I can't win with this. And he goes, oh, you don't know what game we're playing. I gave you winning cards. And I'm beginning to see that I'm playing a different game than I thought I was playing in this season, right? I think the disciples dealt with this all the time. I think the disciples walked around in a sort of perpetual state of confusion initially because they didn't know the game that Jesus was playing. They didn't know that what was happening was actually the winning cards because they didn't realize what the goal was. And so we have this exchange that he wants to give us. He knows what we need to win. And he's prepared to exchange his cards for our cards. Another exchange word picture, because I love word pictures, that I felt like the Lord gave me is the whole concept of exchange plans at a store. If any of you know me, you know that I'm probably one of the least decisive people, except for I've made a really strong decision for Jesus, and I'm super good with that. but I'm probably one of the least decisive people. And the problem that I have is I think more options is always better, and then more options actually makes it harder for me to make a decision. So it's really common, it drives my husband crazy, it's really common that if we're looking for a humidifier, for example, I will go to Target or wherever, and I will take home 4 humidifiers because I really wasn't sure which one we wanted, but Target has a really good exchange plan, right? So I can bring home 4 because I know I can always exchange it and bring it back for equal value that I can always. So I don't even really like to shop at places that have an all sales final policy. That doesn't work very well for me, because I will often buy something and then need to bring it back. Or if I'm looking for a dress, I buy 4 dresses and I look at them for a few days and then I take 3 of them back. Sometimes I take all 4 of them back. Brian really loves that when that happens. yeah, exactly. So I need something that has a good exchange program. You know, Costco has an amazing exchange plan. You can like eat half a box of something and decide, no, I don't like this, and they'll be like, yeah, we'll take it, and you get your money back. But the point that I'm making is it's always for something of equal value, right? I mean, that's the best possible exchange plan, except that with that's in the world. With Jesus, he will exchange something with me for far greater value. So that $40 humidifier that I bought, if I bring that back to Jesus under his plan, I end up with like a $500 something or beyond that, whatever. Put a dollar amount on it. And that's the exchange plan that he has for us. That's how he interacts with us. His very introduction that he gave himself when his ministry started. So last month when I preached, we read the story of how Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted, and then he came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. Right after that in Luke is when he basically begins his ministry, and he goes into the synagogue and he reads scripture there, and he reads that portion out of Isaiah. And well, we'll read it here. I'm not going to read it in Luke. I'll read it in Isaiah 61 because this is what he was quoting. Many of us know this verse. It's definitely a sort of mission statement verse for us here at Living Waters. The Spirit, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Now imagine Jesus standing up in church and reading this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Just going to stop there for a minute. The Lord challenged me when I was working on this yesterday that I need to start declaring this year as the acceptable year of the Lord. I've kind of been dogging on 2020. And the jokes about how it's going to become kind of a curse word. Like, hey, that was a total 2020. No. He is proclaiming this as the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay. So that's because of him. That's because of his exchange program. We can take what we see and go, nope, this is the good and pleasing and acceptable year of the Lord. Okay. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So this is, he stands up and he reads this, and it's the beginning of his ministry and also the beginning of people not being very happy with him. And he says, that's me. That prophetic word, that's me. I'm the one who came to exchange beauty for ashes. I'm the one who came to exchange the oil of joy for mourning. I'm the one that came to clothe you in, praise. I'm the one who came to clothe you in praise when you're wearing a spirit of heaviness. And this is how he introduces himself. I am the great exchanger. This is where we see that he doesn't just come to restore something that was, but he comes to bring redemption and to give us something that is above and beyond the thing that was lost in the first place. So we can be really glad right now, can't we? We can be really glad in those places where we have ashes, because it means that I now have something to bring to him, and he says, I'm going to give you beauty for that. And I can be really glad when I'm in a place of mourning because I have something to bring to him, and he says, I'm going to give you joy for that. Anything. He again and again throughout Scripture, he says, you have a heart of stone, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. You have hopelessness, I'm going to give you hope. You have worry, I'm going to give you peace. You feel defeated, I'm going to make you not just a conqueror, I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. He says, you have an orphan spirit. You feel like you don't belong. I'm going to give you the spirit of adoption. I'm going to make you a son and a daughter. You have weariness and a yoke that feels heavy. I'm going to give you rest, and I'm going to give you a yoke that's light. This is the exchange that he wants to make with us. You have brokenness. I have a broken childhood. Okay, bring that to me. I will give you a thriving, healthy adulthood. I'll start a new family line for you where you have a family that's not in that brokenness, because that's the exchange that I want to give you. This is the exchange that we get to connect to today. This is a foundation, and primarily I want us to connect to this exchange of joy, this place where we've come into a time of really, it's not a lot of happiness going on right now around us. But we have a really unique opportunity to trade that for the joy that he wants to give us. One of the things that I've become aware of that we've been talking about in prayer and is that there is a nation, and particularly a generation in this nation, that is grieving right now, that's mourning. They're mourning a life they thought that we had. They're mourning some things that are becoming shaken in around us. I think a lot of the anger that we see in even a younger generation is a grieving. They're mourning some things. And what's interesting is there is an acknowledgement of the mourning that has to happen. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who mourn, because then they'll be comforted. So there is a place where we have to recognize the mourning that's happening when we go through these times of loss. Can we, as a younger generation, can I have compassion for the fact that there is an entire generation mourning something that they have built into and sown into, and they're seeing some things be shaken? And there's a sense of loss and sadness. Can I have compassion for that? Can I recognize that? Or that there's some mourning happening in a younger generation, that things aren't the way that they thought they were, and they want something better, and there's a sadness of something. Can I have compassion for that? But then can we, as those who mourn, submit ourselves to the exchange program? Because we don't get to stay in that place. That's not what he came for. So there's this exchange program. And here's the deal. I don't get to say, yeah, I'm going to keep this, and I want what you've got. Right? So there's times when we want to keep the thing. I need my brokenness. I need this brokenness. This is what protects me. This is how I know how to live. But yeah, I'll take whatever I have room for that you've got. But it's an exchange. It means I give up the thing that is really not serving me, and he's going to give me something better. But at some point, I got to give it up. I have to let that go. And so this is a season where we can be led by the Spirit in what it is that we need to give up, what it is that we lay down, so that He can in turn give us the joy that He wants to give us. There's some things that I've had to submit to Him. Seriousness is one of them. Seriousness is my safe place. Seriously. Thank you. Leslie knows me. That's the place that I feel like I traffic really well in seriousness. I have a good face for seriousness. I have wrinkles that have to do with seriousness. But there's something that He wants to trade in the heaviness that I want to carry, thinking that it's somehow benefiting anybody. He wants to give me something lighter. Or there's something He wants to trade in the grieving that I might feel and the things that are going on. I don't get to just live in that place. Do you know, I've probably spent more time in just personal prayer in these last several months than I have in a really long time. I'm sure that's not, you know, doesn't make you feel good, but it's good. But I know there's a difference when I'm praying or when I'm just complaining. Because when I'm just complaining, the exchange doesn't take place. And so I spend this time with the Lord, saying all the things that need to be changed and kind of, you know, hello, do you know what's going on? That kind of thing. But I walk away the same. Ooh. But when an actual exchange takes place, I walk away different because I've laid down mourning, or I've laid down fear, or I've laid down sin, or I've laid down disappointment, and I walk away with the new thing that He wants to give me. This is the exchange that He wants to make for us. What I love in John 15:11, I know I've said it before, my favorite right now, and for several years now, my favorite portion of Scripture is like John 13 through about John 17-ish, because it's this time before Jesus goes to the cross that He's instructing His disciples, and it's just rich for me. This is my go-to. This is my go-to where I go, okay, How do I connect to You, Jesus? Because this feels like such an intimate passage of Scripture to me, where He's washing the disciples' feet, and then He's speaking to them about all the things that they're going to need and telling them about the Holy Spirit, and then He's praying, and I get to hear the prayer that He's praying for me, for them, and then also those that believe because of them. This is the prayer that He's praying for us. It's a precious piece of Scripture. But in there, on chapter 15, verse 11, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And what I love is that when we're looking at apprehending this joy that He has for us, the first thing we need to recognize is that He is the source of that joy. There is no other source. This joy that Dave saw as a solid rock foundation that we can stand on, He is the source of that. He doesn't say that you would have joy like mine. He says that My joy would remain in you. The very joy that I have would remain in you. And this is the exchange that He wants to give us, that even My joy... My joy is okay. It's not as good as Brian's joy because he's more fun. But my joy is okay. But I would really love to exchange it for this joy, for the joy of Jesus, who is talking about joy no less than 6 times in this couple of days leading up to the time when He's going to go to the cross. I want that joy. That's the exchange that I want to make. He is the source of our joy. I think sometimes we can see Jesus as the man of sorrows or the suffering Savior, or we don't necessarily see the joy. A lot of times when I see Jesus, I like to see him as pretty intense. Because he was, but he also was super joyful and super approachable. And it's interesting, in Hebrews 1:9, it says, God has anointed the Lord Jesus with the oil of joy, or oil of gladness, above all his companions. That's the joy that I want. He's anointed him with the oil of joy above all else. That's the joy when he says, I'm telling you these things so that my joy may remain in you. So he's our source. The second piece is that his joy is stable. There's a stability in his joy. It says, I tell you these things, or these things I've spoken. I'm in John 15:11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. There's a stability in his joy, that it remains in us, especially if we're willing to build on that as our foundation. If I take that exchange, and I'm going to exchange all the things that I think about as it relates to joy, I'm going to take that and I'm going to build on that, and I'm going to step into that completely. And then his joy remains in me regardless of the circumstance. Regardless of where I'm at, his joy is, it's the stability in me. In James 1:2, James is not my favorite, just saying. But he challenges me. In James 1:2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Why do we consider it pure joy? Because we know the exchange rate is really good when we have trials. Consider it pure joy when you are handed a trial. That'll be good for this kind of joy that Jesus is talking about. We can consider it pure joy because we're in the stability of knowing that we're built on this joy in Jesus. Finally, we know that there's sufficiency. Source, he's our source. His joy is the stability in our lives, and he's the sufficiency. All sufficiency of joy for us. It is complete. It pleased God that in him all fullness should dwell. There's a lot of things that we think we need to experience joy. But this is a season that we are learning that joy is complete in Jesus. That it's fully everything that we need. He says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. There's several other places that it talks about that your joy may be full. So, we just are going to look at then, what are these things? These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What are the things? What is it that we do to make that exchange with him? And this is what he's talking about when he's referring to these things. Verse 1 of chapter 15, where we were. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Are we feeling pruned? I'm feeling pruned. He says then, abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me, skipping down to verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is how we have this complete joy, this Jesus joy that remains in us. We abide in him in this season. I think sometimes in seasons of pruning, we forget that it's not the things that are getting cut off that are the source of life for us. That's not the end that creates the source of life. Do you understand? A branch and it gets lopped off. There's a pruning that has to happen. And part of what that does is it causes us to dive deeper into the vine. So my encouragement, as we get ready to go and taste the goodness of God and to experience the joy that he wants to give us as we fellowship together, as we enjoy, is that we recognize that this is a season that we get to exchange what we've been given for what he wants to give us. And first and foremost, it's this foundation of joy that comes from abiding in him. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you for your generosity in the exchange. We thank you for the amazing exchange rate that you allow us to operate in. And we just ask that today you would speak to us about the things that you want to exchange with us, where there are things that we have held on to in this season. God, would we be willing to exchange completely what we have for what you have? We thank you for the opportunity we have. We consider it all joy to be in the trial that we're in right now because we know what you're producing in us and we trust what you're producing in us in this time. We trust that the exchange is going to be good. So we thank you for the fullness of joy today. We choose to step into it. In Jesus' name, amen.